This evening, we're finishing up our study of opening up Proverbs, and tonight we're looking at lesson number 13, which appropriately finishes up in the last chapter of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 31, and most of that chapter is devoted to the topic of the wise woman, sometimes called the chapter of the virtuous woman. And so tonight we're going to be focusing on that portion and drawing some principles for it. And one of the things that we need to keep in mind about Proverbs 31 is that it was originally written and directed to a young man. And so a lot of times ladies will read it, and obviously it's appropriate for ladies to read it and to glean its truth and to seek to conform their lives to God's wisdom. But originally it was given to a young man to help him to exercise wisdom and discernment in the choice of a life's mate so that he would be able to walk in the way of wisdom. And if he were to be a king, to rule in the way of wisdom. And so it's originally directed to a young man, but also there's much here that both of us, both men and women, can learn from this passage, because a lot that's mentioned here is just general character of godliness. Some of it is specific to perhaps the role of a wife or a mother, but a lot of it is just good, godly character and godly wisdom. And so there's much that we can all learn here. One of the things that he talks about at the beginning of the lesson is what kind of women are worthy of honor, or what is it that we should honor in a woman? And he draws our attention to the fact that the world has its own definition of what is honorable, what is worthy of honor. And it doesn't take you long to learn in our culture that what our culture values in a woman is outward beauty or fame, success, power. And so that's what our culture lifts up, is either physical beauty or the attainments of maybe a businesswoman or an athlete, someone in government. And those are the things that we look up to. We lift those up. But what kind of a woman does God honor? God honors not necessarily what the world honors. In fact, much of what we read in Proverbs 31 about the role of a woman is very countercultural, isn't it? It goes very much against the grain of the way our world is right now. In fact, right now, our world is really tearing down the distinctions between men and women, isn't it? It's trying to obliterate those distinctions. But I think God built into the created order gender, both male and female, for a reason, for a purpose. And we can see that God, from the very beginning, Genesis 1, he made them male and female. And so he did that to bring order and beauty and design and wholeness to humanity. And I think that when you read Genesis 2, when Adam and Eve are brought together, or when God creates Eve for Adam and brings them together, we can see that the two are better than one when they come together. They're intended to be a complementary pair, a unit. When they come together, each helps the other where they lack. And so God has designed men and women to be different, but our culture says, no, men and women are the same. And gender is just some kind of fluid thing that you can decide upon, you know, and even kind of ebbs and flows throughout your life. And that's not what the scriptures teach us at all. Scriptures teach us that gender is built into the natural order, God's design. And it's not something that we should play with. It's not something that we should seek to alter. It's a part of God's wisdom, just his wondrous design and architecture in the way that he built this world. And so we need to listen to the voice of God, not the voice of the world, because right now the voice of the world is totally contrary to the voice of God and his wisdom. And so it takes faith to believe what God has said, because it's totally against what the world is saying right now. And so Proverbs 31 lifts up the kind of a woman that God honors. And the first thing that we see in Proverbs 31 is that the primary arena of the virtuous woman is in the home. She is a godly wife. She is a godly mother. And now, again, that's countercultural, isn't it? Because our world right now is saying to many women, if you become a homemaker, if you stay at home, if you are a full-time wife or mother, then you're not living up to your full expectations or your full capabilities. And there's so much more that you can accomplish if you will seek world's fame and money and career. And I'm not saying that it, in every situation it's wrong for a woman to work outside the home or to pursue a career, but we need not listen to the voice of the world that says that being a wife at home or a mother of children at home is not valuable, because it is incredibly valuable. It's an incredibly noble calling. And the Bible, across the whole Bible, not just in Proverbs 31, across the whole witness of God's word, elevates wives and mothers who devote themselves to their homes. And it's a noble calling. It's a very high calling. In fact, it takes a lot of skill. It takes a lot of skill. It takes a lot of hard work. It takes a lot of wisdom. It takes a lot of organization. It takes a lot of planning. It takes a lot of patience to be a wife and mother. And so there's nothing unworthy about it at all. In fact, it's a very noble and high calling. And this is the place in Proverbs 31 where the virtuous woman lives out her calling. And we see in Proverbs 31 that she is very successful, isn't she? Even though her primary base of operation is the home, she's very successful. She is successful in business. She's successful in ordering her family. She's successful in providing for her family and teaching her family, and all of this within the home. And so there's a lot in which she is able to express her giftedness and her capabilities within that arena. Also, we see in Proverbs 31 that it is structured very, very specifically. It is structured in the form of a poem, beginning in verse 10 all the way to the end of the chapter. It is structured in the form of a poem, and it is an acrostic poem, which means that each verse corresponds to a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And so, in a sense, bringing it into English terms, we have the A to Z of godly womanhood. It is, and it's designed that way to be memorable, to call to attention the principles that it teaches. And it's so it's a very carefully constructed poem that lifts up the beauty of a virtuous woman. And he mentions too that this is a great climax to the whole book of Proverbs, that in the opening part of Proverbs begins with teaching us about wisdom and personifies wisdom as Lady Wisdom at the beginning of the book. And so now we're coming to the end and we're seeing Lady Wisdom lived out in a real person and these qualities that are described of her. And so it's almost kind of ends where it begins. And so Proverbs 31 teaches us about the search for a woman of excellence. The search for a woman of excellence. And so this is the words of wisdom of a mother to a young man. To a young man who is to be king, King Lemuel. And the first thing that his mother says to him is, listen to me. Listen to me. I've got some good words of advice for you. One of the things that our culture is lacking right now is the fact that we're not paying attention to the voices of the past. We think that we can just reinvent the wheel in this new generation, and we don't need to listen to history. We don't need to listen to the wisdom of those who have gone before us, because they were just, you know, that was back in prehistoric times or back in pre-modern times. They didn't have the internet back then. They didn't have computers. They didn't have all this fancy science that we have now. So we know so much more than them, so we don't need to listen to them. And that's a mistake. It's a mistake. Because yes, while we might be able to see into space farther and we might be able to see smaller particles, atomic particles, better than they could 100 or 200 or 300 years ago, I really think that 100 or 200 or 300 years ago, they had more wisdom than we have today. So we might have more specific, detailed knowledge and facts about how things work, but that doesn't mean that we know how it all fits together and how to use it properly and to live out our lives properly in the world. That takes wisdom, and that comes from the fear of God. And so we need to listen to those that have gone before us. And young people, we need to listen to our parents because they've lived it. They've lived it. They've experienced it. And if they're a God-fearing father or mother, they not only have the advantage of experience, but they have the advantage of God's truth learned and experienced over many years that they can put together for you. And if we will open our ears and listen to that, we will save ourselves a lot of trouble. That's why he says, listen to me. He says in verse 3 that the wrong kind of woman will ruin you. Now, she's talking to a young man who's going to grow up to be king, King Lemuel. She's training him, saying, you need to make sure that you pick the right one, because you pick the wrong queen and it'll ruin your life and it'll ruin the kingdom. But that's true of any home, isn't it? That's true of any home. You pick the wrong woman and she will ruin you. And so she talks about the dangers of the strange woman, the unfaithful woman. She talks about the dangers of those who give themselves to strong drink, to alcohol. We might include in that other kinds of substances that can distort your judgment. She warns the young man about those who are unfaithful, who might neglect their family, who are not wise financially, who might bankrupt you, those who might ruin your reputation. And so she warns him about picking the wrong woman. And one of the very first things that she says, and one of the recurring themes throughout the whole poem, is don't be distracted by what's on the outside. And that is totally against the grain of our culture right now, isn't it? Because our culture right now almost deifies physical beauty. And Proverbs says almost exactly the opposite. Physical beauty, it can last for a while, but it fades, doesn't it? It fades. I don't care how many beauty products and how much care you take care of yourself, that beauty is going to fade. But nobility, honor, faithfulness, dependability, trustworthiness, all of that can grow over time, can't it? So it's like an inverse relationship. They're going in opposite directions. A virtuous woman, she might be fading in external beauty, but she is growing in godly beauty. And he tells her to pay more attention to what's in her heart than what's on the outside, because what's on the outside can distract you and can cloud your judgment. She says to him, try to look past that to what is deeper, what's in the heart. And so the wrong kind of woman can ruin you. But on the other hand, an excellent wife can greatly contribute to your success. She can add more to you and to your work and to your calling than you could ever do by yourself. And so she talks about how the woman can add strength and help, and she is an incredible gift from God. Go back to Genesis chapter 2, and what did God say? It's not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper that is suitable for him. So it was God's design that man and woman together would be able to accomplish more than they could even apart. Now, I just want to pause here for a second and say, what does that say to those who are single their whole lives? Well, God calls some to that. We read that in the scriptures in Corinthians, that God calls some to singleness, and that can be a part of God's will for someone's life. And so I don't want to say that the only way you can please God is to be married. That's not what I'm saying. God calls some to marriage. He calls some to singleness. But if God calls you to marriage, then use Proverbs 31 to help you be the right person and choose the right person. Because together you can accomplish much for God's glory in his kingdom. And so what kind of an excellent wife should you be looking for? Someone who's trustworthy? Someone that you can depend on? Someone that you don't have to worry about? Someone that you don't have to wonder if she's being faithful to you or not. Someone that you can trust your family's resources to. Someone you can trust your credit cards to, your checkbook to. Someone who is trustworthy. Someone who is an asset. Someone who adds to the family. Someone who contributes ability and character, talent. Who desires to use their talents and resources for the glory of God and for the good of others. A virtuous woman can enhance your standing in the community. Now, obviously, she's saying this to a young man who's going to have a leadership role in the community. But this is true of any husband or any father, that just as a an unfaithful wife can ruin your reputation. A faithful one, a helpful one, can undergird that, right? And I know this firsthand. I know firsthand that I have overmarried. If you know what that means, is I have married above my pay grade. So God has been gracious to me in that, and God has provided me with a wife that has helped me to do things that I know I never would have ever been able to do by myself. And God does that. God blesses people like that, both husbands and wives. He brings them together so that they can do more together. And when you have a virtuous husband or a virtuous wife, it enhances the other, both in terms of ability and in terms of reputation and their just the way people think of them. And so she is an asset. She's trustworthy. She's a help, an asset. Also, he says in the chapter that an excellent wife can help in many ways, many, many benefits to the noble woman. One is she is home-centered, and so to a woman who is virtuous, who is of noble character, you can entrust everything to her and have no worries about what's going on. In a way, it almost reminds me of the way that Potiphar treated Joseph. Remember that in the Old Testament? That Joseph became like his right-hand man, and he devoted everything regarding his household business to Joseph. And he was a responsible, capable leader, a manager of people. He was trustworthy. He was dependable. And Potiphar just entrusted it all to him. And I see that as the way that Proverbs 31 is describing an excellent wife, is someone who is a capable leader, manager, dependable, trustworthy, to whom everything can be entrusted and the husband doesn't have to worry. Something that can be very helpful to him. And she's also someone who is diligent. She uses her time effectively. This passage talks about how she works hard with her hands. She gets up early, she stays up late, and she does what her family needs. She brings in some income for her family, even though she's at home. She's doing things that help the financial well-being of her family. She adds to just the overall quality of the entire family, because she does things that are excellent. In other words, it's not someone who just does the bare minimum, but somebody who seeks the best, someone who wants to bring in beauty and excellence into the home. She is a responsible administrator, someone who is organized, careful, forward-looking, someone who works hard. She is wise in her speech and bringing in all the things that Proverbs has taught us about how we use our words. This virtuous woman exemplifies those. She speaks with honesty. She speaks with care. She speaks with kindness to others. She is a woman known of noble speech. Proverbs 31 says that the excellent wife will be richly rewarded. So just as in Proverbs, the fool should be fearful of judgment, but those who are wise will be rewarded by God, so too with the virtuous woman. One of the rewards that she gets is in the home itself. Proverbs 31, 28 and 29 says that her children honor her and her husband praises her. And so one of the blessings, one of the rewards that she gets is from her family itself. And by the way, just as an aside to us men or children, if we have an excellent woman in our home, we should let her know that. We should praise her for that. We should respect her for the work that she does. And so she gets a reward from her own family. She also gets a kind of a beauty that is unfading. Not the physical kind that may fade away over time, but the kind of character, the kind of heart, the kind of beauty that increases and that is evident to all. We have all come into contact with people that, even though time has gotten the best of their bodies, that they are people that you look at and they just exude wisdom and character and dependability and faithfulness. And there's something beautiful to behold in that, isn't there? and it goes beyond just what's on the outside. But the ultimate reward comes from God because she is a woman who fears God. That's what drives her. What drives her is not pleasing people per se. Yes, she serves other people and she loves other people and she does what other people need. But that's not her primary motivation. Her primary motivation is God, because she fears him and she wants to live for him. And as I was reading this section in the lesson, I thought about the phrase in Ephesians where it talks about wives serving and loving their husbands as unto the Lord. And I thought about that here in Proverbs 31, is she is being a blessing to her home, but it's ultimately for God and for his glory. And God will reward that. God will recognize that and bless her in the end. And so what's the conclusion of this? Well, he addresses a few different kinds of people in the conclusion. One is for ladies. So if you're a lady, a young lady, or even already married, then Proverbs 31 can provide a model of here are some qualities that I should strive for. If you're a married man, then seek to lift up, seek to encourage your wife in these qualities and praise her when she displays these qualities. If you're a single man, then look to this chapter very carefully and don't follow the path of the world and what it says to look for in a future wife. Instead, look to the word of God and what it says to look for in a future wife. And one of the things that I know ladies sometimes struggle with, and even men who read Proverbs 31 and look at all of the qualities that are listed there, we might say, wow, this is an impossible list. And I'm sure we feel that at different times when we read passages like this that give a list of character qualities. We think, wow, this is an impossible ideal, because all of us fall short of it, don't we? We all fall short of it. Praise God that we have Christ, who is the one who has accomplished everything perfectly, hasn't he? Jesus has died for us. He has taken our guilt upon himself. He has blessed us with his own perfect virtue and righteousness. And so we stand before God, not based on our own worth, but based on the worth of Christ. And so we don't have to look at Proverbs 31 as a weight, a crushing weight of I can never live up to this. Instead, because of our standing before God in Christ, we can look at Proverbs 31 as a hopeful guide to how we should live for God. And so don't let it be a burden of weight, but instead let it be a hopeful mark to shoot for, to press on toward. As Paul says in Philippians 3, I press on toward the mark. I shoot for that which is forward, what lies ahead. And so look at it that way, knowing that we won't reach it perfectly in this life, but we strive for it in the power that God gives us, because we want to please God. We want to glorify God. And so we do it not to earn his favor, but because he has already favored us and he's blessed us with his grace. And so we want to live in gratitude and in faith of what he's already done for us, whether we're a man or a woman. When the Bible lifts up qualities like these, we don't do it to earn salvation or to earn God's favor. We do it because we've been blessed, abundantly blessed. And we do it out of love, out of gratitude, and out of faith for what God has done. Let's bow before the Lord together. Our God, we thank you for the time that we've had to look to your word tonight to learn more of your wisdom. Lord, tonight we focused our attention on an area of our lives, an area of our families that is under direct attack right now in our culture. We need godly men to lead their families. We need godly women to teach and to nurture, to serve their families. We need your help, Lord. We need your help in the church. Many families, even within the church, are not following your wisdom, seeking to pattern their families and their lives after your wisdom. God, we need your help. We need your grace. Lord, help us here in this church, in this body of believers, to seek to apply your word to our lives, to seek to grow in wisdom, to be the kind of men, the kind of women, young men, young women that you've called us to be. And Lord, may we bring honor to you. May those around us, our community, see our good works and glorify you in heaven. Lord, we ask your blessings on us as we go. And Lord, be a special help to those who are in need tonight. And we pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.